Hello and welcome to the Run the Day podcast. I'm your host, Nick Simmons. With me as always is Cam. Cam, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to the show, you guys.
Welcome back. What do you think of this one? Sadie Lincoln, ladies and gentlemen. She is the co-founder and CEO of Bar 3. Cam, this one got me fired up.
Totally. Just everything she's accomplished at such a young age and the community that she's building within Bar 3. So many people, you go to the workout class, you leave not really knowing anybody, you go in just for the result. But she has built an incredible community within this and is empowering so many people.
And it really is an incredible way to build community, you know, whether it's your CrossFit gym or whether it's Bar 3. I think that this idea of working out together really brings us together. But then you have to have this common, she talks about the core values of what Bar 3 is. And she talks about finding your own truth and enjoying the process to ultimately get to the results that you're looking for. It's so rare. I've been to Orange Theory. I've been to CrossFit. I've been to all of these gyms. This is very, very unique.
Yeah. And I think that's the special thing behind what she's doing and why she's having so much success with it. She's built over 150 franchises. She has her online streaming and she still is raising her family. She's married.
She's busy. She's definitely busy.
She's an inspiration.
Hugely inspirational. And we do dig into the business side of things. I think we can do a better job of that on this podcast. I'm an entrepreneur. I know a lot of the people that listen are interested in entrepreneurial business. If you like hearing about the nitty gritty, the good and the bad of startup, we dig into that a little bit here. You know, is there anything that kind of jumped out at you about that?
I think it's cool to hear the dream as it starts and it's just the chicken scratch that's on the paper. Yeah. And then 12 years later, she has this huge business. And I think a lot of us can see the dream, but starting is the hardest and scariest part.
For sure.
And so when you hear these entrepreneurs that lean in, they start and they do it, you're like, oh, I can do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it all starts with just a chicken scratched idea. And then 10, 12 years later, you're looking down and you've got 150 franchises.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I know I make it overly simplified and we'll dig into some of the challenges that Sadie faced, but I think you guys are going to like this one. We talk fitness, we talk business. That's what this podcast is all about. Without further ado, here she is, Sadie Lincoln. All right, here she is from just down the street in Portland, Oregon. It's Sadie Lincoln. Sadie, how are you?
Hi, I think technically up the street.
Oh, you're right.
Down the river, up the street, exactly.
There you go.
We could jump in the Willamette River right now and
swim up.
Be there in what?
Paddleboard.
Well, our COO just walked in, Nathan Woods. He did that on a paddleboard, Eugene to Portland.
Yeah.
Nathan, how long did that take you?
I'm not sure I knew that was possible.
He slept a little, buddy, but it took him plenty of time. It is possible you do have to portage around Willamette Falls, of course.
Oh, wow.
But but a little thoroughfare there. Well, now we're just geeking out on the river systems here. But you actually, you know, it's we were just chatting a little bit, but you're from Eugene originally?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Born and raised or just?
In Taos, New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from 5 on, I was in Eugene.
What brought your family to Eugene?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think lifestyle, when my mom, I have kind of an alternative family. My mom and her best friends met in the 60s, the late 60s, part of the counterculture. And they were all single, ended up becoming single moms, and they decided to raise us kids together. And when we got to about school age, the Taos school system wasn't super strong. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of done with the hippie, like, homeschooling thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was one of the reasons they liked the lifestyle and the public education. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Really and cool. It's a great place to raise a family here. Mm-hmm. Quiet, peaceful, good schools.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great place to be raised for sure.
And did you leave at 18?
I did. Yeah. Basically as soon as I turned 18, I was out.
Ready to go see something bigger.
Yeah. My mom and stepdad surprised me with a car on birthday. It was a Geo Spectrum.
Oh yeah. Great ride.
And oh my God, bright red. And I drove it as fast as I could to LA.
Wow.
You just knew that's where you wanted to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I actually moved there to get to know my dad.
Oh, very cool.
So
very cool.
Lived there for a little bit.
That's a big change though. Eugene to LA.
Totally.
What did you think?
Oh, I was so humbled by the whole experience. for one thing, I didn't go to a 4-year university. I enrolled in City College, and it was truly one of the most lonely eras of my life because I was just getting to know my dad, and that was kind of awkward. And I was in this big city and enrolled in City College, so I didn't have a community. And I definitely learned what it was to be lonely in a big city. And which that, I think is a gift, actually.
Cam and I have both spent time in LA, and I know exactly what you're saying. It's a city of, what, 20 million people in the greater LA area, but you can feel very lonely sometimes, especially parked on the 405.
And everybody's fabulous there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, everyone's just so much more fabulous, you know, than the other person. So, yeah.
And what were you studying at the time?
Well, I was in City College just doing kind of the undergrad thing, and I ended up transferring into UCLA. And when I was there, I majored in sociology.
Very cool. And what did you aspire to do with a sociology degree?
And I didn't really have big aspirations, to be honest. I just sort of enjoyed the process. And I did fall in love with fitness back then. I started teaching at the John Wooden Center on the UCLA campus. That's where I started teaching group exercise and really enjoyed that. I ended up running the instructor training program as my kind of extracurricular activity. I was thinking about being a teacher at one point. And then I got involved with this organization called NERSA, which is, I forget what the acronym is, but it's basically for college campuses, the intramural and recreation centers on college campuses. So for a while there, I thought I was going to run a fitness program on a college campus. And that's actually what I got my master's in.
Oh, very cool. Is this kind of the seed that would one day become Bar?
I mean, it certainly led me into this industry. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say that to college kids. You know, they say, I'm going to college. I'm going here and there. I'm like, well, what do you want to study? And they go, I have no idea. I'm like, welcome to every college kid ever, pretty much, you know. And it's more, I hate to use this term. I think it's a horrible term for something you're paying a lot of money for, but it's a great incubator. It's a great chance to just become a little more mature, learn a lot about a lot of different things. And it's funny, you know, that you were studying, was it sociology you said? But you're finding that you're more passionate about the fitness side of things. I'm very similar. I was studying to be a doctor, but all I was sitting in labs all day, daydreaming about going out to do my evening run. And it's funny that something will call to you. You just have to put yourself out there and wait for something to call to you and then start exploring that interest.
Yeah, that's why I like to talk about my path and specifically going to City College, because I think there's so much pressure nowadays for kids to do it all right, quote unquote. And I turned out all right. You know, I didn't even take the SATs in high school. I didn't care about grades in high school. I wasn't that driven, but I always knew I'd do something that I would. I always knew I was going to do something that I was passionate about, and I always had confidence that it would be all right, that it would work out.
I think that's important. You have to have that confidence, especially as an entrepreneur, or you're not going to make it very far. Mm-hmm. When did the entrepreneurial bug kind of bite up and say, this is what I want to do? Because it's a scary road to walk down initially.
Yeah. Do you think it's scary?
I think that the scary part, you know, we talk about the valley of despair, right? There's the initial optimism, and that's not scary. Yeah. And then you actually write the first check, or you hire the first person. And then it gets real scary real quickly when you say, I don't think I fully appreciated how much work this is going to take.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Like, cash is scary.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that my hypothesis is that people are born entrepreneurs. I really think we all have our unique kind of powers. Mm-hmm. And I was born wanting to start things. Mm-hmm. And I mean, from my earliest memories, I was inventing and starting and dreaming up ideas. And that has never been scary for me. That's always been
exciting.
Natural. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it wasn't actually until recent years that I realized not everybody's like that, that other people are born with other superhero powers.
It's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. But I'm definitely a starter. I love starting things, and where it got real for me and kind of scary is when we weren't doing as well as we thought we were going to do, or we had to sacrifice and not have as many things as we were used to having. And I would say now it's just the kind of overall like when I pull back and I look at how many team members are counting on this company being successful, they've all invested all their resources and their lives into their jobs here. And so just making sure that they have a safe future is what definitely motivates me. I don't know if it scares me, but it definitely motivates me.
Keeps you hustling. You keep using the words starting. You love starting things. And I really identify with that. But I'm wondering, do you love the continued building, the continued management? Once you've created that monster, it's now your responsibility to take care of the monster. I struggle with that. And thank goodness we hire great people, right? Because without Nathan, without Kamala, I would run this thing straight into the ground. But sometimes the best starters aren't the best managers. Where would you say that you are a good manager, or do you really rely on a great staff?
I 100% rely on a remarkable team.
Yeah, I love it.
Today I met with Harper and Lisa, who have been with me for a long time, and I just sat back there. They were presenting this innovation that we're planning and this really thoughtful process to, you know, move our product forward and how to scale it and all the things. And I just sat back and looked at both of them and said, I'm so thankful I have you around the table.
I feel that way a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely more of a starter than I am a finisher. And I think everybody on the team would nod their head with agreement.
Where did you get started?
To, like, not go into meetings.
Yeah.
Because I'll spin plates, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. I always say, don't bother me with the details. Like, I'm not a detail guy. Thank goodness there are detail people out there. But so we talked a little bit about the seeds that were being planted down in UCLA. Where did the business actually get founded?
Well, Chris and I were, my husband and I are business partners. He's the COO. I'm CEO. We're co-founders. And we lived in the Bay Area. We had kids. We had our babies back to back. They're only a year and a half apart. And this is like 11, 12 years ago. And we had finally bought the house. We had good jobs. We were paid well. It was sort of like that moment of arriving, but
full adulthood, full responsibility.
We were fully adulting. Yeah. Yes. And yet we just felt empty. There was something missing in our lives. And part of it was community, just a real sense of connection and a value fit with people we worked with. Not that they were not good people. It's just, it wasn't our tribe. And we also saw a gap in the fitness industry that had always bothered me specifically, personally. And we just sort of scratched our head one day and said, you know what, let's start something on our own. And we started to write a business plan for Bar 3. And the real catalyst was actually Chris coming to me one day. He had a spreadsheet tucked in his pocket and he pulled it out all sheepishly. And he said he had something he wanted to talk to me about. And he had figured out how we could sell our house in Oakland Hills and use that money to live for a year without working. And his idea was to move to Bend, Oregon, rent a little house, and just be totally present with our kids for a full year.
Very cool.
And yeah, that was the sweetest, most epic moment, because I'm more of the dreamer. He's more of the let's line things up. And so it was such a like out of the box idea that he brought to the table. And that we ended up not doing that, because what we decided to do is take that money and invest it into our own company. And that's what Bar 3 is, and make a job that would always fill us up and create joy in our lives.
I love that. I mean, the best businesses, what businesses that really thrive early on, they have to have that passion. They have to have that dedication. So you have this chicken scratch business plan and you have some seed capital, which is, you know, a great start to the recipe, but then how do you actually bring this thing to market?
Yeah, just super scrappy. We actually closed all the business books and we worked at a big fitness company called 24 Hour Fitness.
Oh yeah.
I worked there for 10 years and I worked for the founder and CEO for many of those years. He's still one of my mentors and advisors. But everything I learned at 24 Hour Fitness, and I tell him this all the time, he thinks it's funny. I did the opposite. Like I did everything different. I just looked inside for answers and trusted my intuition and trusted that if I have this itch that I'm scratching, other people do too. So we moved to Portland. We rented a teeny little house. We went down to one car. I shopped at consignment, all the things. We put our kids in bargain daycare. Mm-hmm. And I started teaching free community classes in this little studio that I rented above Whole Foods, or it was actually Wild Oats at the time. It's now Whole Foods. And I canvassed the neighborhood with flyers as we were building out our first studio. And anyone I could talk to, I talked to and invited them in. And it was just one person after another introducing them to the workout. And I was inventing the workout as I was teaching it during this time. I was really testing all the knowledge. I had taught for close to 20 years prior. So I had lots of knowledge, but I was sort of figuring out, well, that didn't really work for me in yoga. And I kind of missed that about Pilates, but I want to add the music and the beat. I was just putting together a balanced workout.
Your dream session, basically.
My dream session. Yeah. And I just kept asking myself, what do you want, Sadie? What do you want? that's the dream, right?
Yeah.
Is just to be like a committee of one person.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's how we got it off the ground.
How would you describe it today? Like, what would a class be like if you were just telling somebody who had never heard of it? What would you describe a class?
Well, it's a full body balance workout, and we combine cardio, strength conditioning, and mindfulness. And I would say what I love the most about Bar 3 is our attention to modifications. So for every move that we teach you, we give you lots of alternative ways to take that shape, because all of us have different bodies and every single moment is different. And so really what you're learning at Bar 3 is to honor your truth and to move in a way that's honest for what you need in the moment.
I think that's great. And so very cool. Rare to find something like that too. It's usually like, do it this way. This is the right way. There are no other right ways. Mm-hmm. You know,
we've been conditioned to define success and fitness as a one-way street.
Yeah, it's true.
And it fails, in my experience, almost all of us. That conditioning fails almost all of us, because it is based on kind of like how fitness is sold, is the before and after picture. You come in the before, and then if you do these fitness and products and services in this order, you will become the after. And everything about that fails us. For one thing, the before is so shaming. It's like, there's no presence in the before. You know, there inherent in that message is, I'm not whole. I'm broken as I am. I need to be better, to be worthy, to be seen, to be successful.
Well, and it also propagates this idea that the goal is the end zone, right? We have to just get there and then we'll be happy. And it's like, no, it's really in the process that you're going to find happiness. And I think very few, especially in fitness, very few gurus or teachers teach enjoying the process, right? Everything's so results and end based. And that's a shame.
It sells.
That's a shame, because it does sell really well.
It is a shame.
Yeah. But it leads, and I say this as somebody who is a professional athlete for 12 years, it leads to a lot of unhappiness, because you can be having great successes along the way, but because you're not where you ultimately want to be, you're kind of always, we use the word malcontent, you're just never happy. You're always aspiring to get there, to the end zone, this mythical end zone that will make you happy. So I think that mindfulness, that truth that you're talking about, it's something that people really need to embrace. And I'm glad you're teaching that.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it. The after picture, right? That end zone is imagined. It's not real. If you think about it, it's in the future. So that's not real.
Well, and it changes daily, right?
It changes daily. Yeah. Well, it doesn't even change, because it's the after. And so it's just ridiculous. And it's usually based on someone else on top of it. So we'll never become someone else. But even in my experience and in my own personal experience, but witnessing this with thousands of clients too, when you get to the after, like, I know that some of the people who look the most ideal, like when you think about like fitness ideals, right? And everybody has their different idea of that: long, lean, ripped, strong, tall, whatever it is. Some of those people who look the part are the most broken inside, because they got there and they didn't find happiness. Like, that didn't solve all their problems. Like, it's just, it's the inner world and what goes on inside is so much more important in terms of our health and well-being to focus on. And unfortunately, we're born into this society that's so focused on those external measures of success. So we're really trying to rewind that mindset at Bar 3. It's a practice. It's something, you know, we practice every time we work out together.
You've got to, yeah. But I'm reading through the stats here. 140 franchise studios, correct me if that's wrong, 98 plus countries for your streaming subscriber base. This is a big company. Like, you got to connect the pieces for me. You go from this studio above a garage to this wonderfully growing, you know, fast growing company. How do you get from A to B?
Well, number one is staying really true to our vision, mission, and values and not compromising. And our vision is to redefine what success and fitness means. And how we're going to do that is by teaching classes that balance the body and empower from within. So that's that whole looking inside for the health and answers. And then our core values. And the core values are the people who make up Bar 3. And so how we've grown is by attracting and picking people who are completely aligned with our core values, just naturally. It's not something they have to work towards. And we decided to do an empowered method of growing through franchising. And how we franchise is owner operated. So if you franchise with Bar 3, you're actually going to run the studio and be the face of the studio. So Jessica Neely is our franchise partner in Eugene, where you live. Mm-hmm. And she has two studios there. She really embodies Bar 3 and it's her business. She's empowered to create her own community. And that for us, that just felt right. Because we're entrepreneurial and we wanted to empower other people who had that same spirit, but who maybe didn't have the same background in exercise, fitness, and business as we had. And so we just decided to one franchise partner at a time start growing. And we actually have 150 studios.
Excuse me, my data is outdated here. 150 studios, it's incredible. Yeah. How many studios did you have corporate owned before you started franchising?
Just one, the Pearl Studio. Maybe we had started our second in Southeast. We now have 6 owned. The rest are franchised.
Wonderful. Now, I have a little background in franchising. That was the business that we had, Kamala's dad and I had before we started Run Gum. And it's an incredible model, but from the franchisor's franchise, you're the franchisee or the franchisor?
I'm the franchisor.
The franchisor. From the franchisor's perspective, which I never was, I was a franchisee. The franchisor has a very, very tough job in that you have to very carefully vet these franchisees. You talk about the brand that you're building. You talk about just the core values. Mm-hmm. If you don't pick that franchisee just right, it can be a real, you know, real dud. Right? It can damage the brand. How do you pick just the right person to come in and be a franchisee?
I would add before I answer that, great question. Very important, because when you franchise, you can't fire a franchisee. Like
exactly.
They are a business partner. It is really important.
And you got lots of business partners now.
Lots of them. And they are my investors. We don't have any private equity. We've grown on cash flow.
That's
and
incredible.
Their investment. Yeah, we're really proud of it. I would say on the other side of that coin, that's really important for all of your listeners and your audience to hear, is that equally important is for the franchisee to vet who they're franchising with.
Oh yeah.
Because, and really understand, are they dedicated to training, education, and my ongoing success? Mm-hmm. Or is this going to be kind of a hockey stick growth company? Because I just think that side of the story is often left out for some reason. And it could not be more important for it to be an equal, like, yes, this is a good fit. Yes, this is a good fit. But how we vet, we have a whole system of inquiry on our website. And then we have a team of people who go through the different people who have expressed interest. We do lots of phone calls and then a lot of in-person interviews. And we have discovery days now where everybody comes to Portland. Chris and I are still very involved in it. We have 50 full-time employees here now that are as passionate as Chris and I are about finding the right fit. And the other thing that I would say that even more important than that, because I think that's just a muscle you build after a while of knowing, okay, you are going to be a strong fit. You've got a strong business background. And we found these interesting nuances about who works and who doesn't work over the years. But, where was I going with that? I don't remember. I'm sure it was really...
What you're describing is building out several teams, right? You've got your internal corporate team, and I know firsthand how hard that is. Mm-hmm. But then you've also got these business partners scattered throughout the country. And who manages the franchisees then? Is that something, that's always blown my mind, how these how these franchises set up.
I remembered what I was going to say.
Yeah, please, please. Yeah. I'm glad I jogged your memory.
Because it is, thank you. It is important. It's that we have three different revenue streams. We are not dependent on selling a franchise to pay the bills or to increase our profit margin. And that is so important.
Can you describe those three streams for us?
Sure. That we have the digital subscription business where we have online workouts, and then we have our own studios. So the revenue from our own studios, and then we have our franchise business, which is, we try to look at that as just the royalty fees we get versus that big fee up front.
Right.
And then we also sell direct to consumer retail, and we have now a retreat business. So we actually have several revenue streams.
Yeah, you do. That's really a winning combination, right? If any one revenue stream is suffering for whatever reason, hopefully the other ones step in and take it up. So very smart.
We're not panicked like, oh, we need to sell some franchises. We really take our time and maybe sell like two a month when we could technically be selling 10 a month. But we know that that's not sustainable, and we're really aware of our bandwidth, and we're so high touch that we don't want to overextend.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. We've been picking your mind a lot from the business side of things, but I want to talk about how you take those lessons. You talk about sustainability, you talk about balance. How do you bring that back into your personal life and still, as busy as you are, how do you bring that back home and still maintain your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your kids, and be the mom and wife that you aspire to be as well?
Number one is to be compassionate towards myself and forgiving. Mom guilt is real.
Yeah.
And know that it's a practice, just like being in the studio is a practice of letting go of the inner critic and being at home and happy in my body. It's a practice to be present with my kids and at home and happy as a mother and by myself without my identity as a CEO or my identity as a mother, just me, alone in the woods, taking a hike. It's a practice. And I think the most important thing for me, I have a friend named Don DaPani. It's DANDAPANI. If any of you guys want to look him up, he's an amazing mindfulness teacher. And he said something to me. He gave me the best definition of balance. He said, balance to him is managing your energy proportionate to the people and things who matter most to you. And energy is time. Instead of looking at it as time, look at it as energy. So for example, I was talking to him about, gosh, I really want to be more present with my son. But I've been coming home at 4 o'clock and I'm leaving work early, but I still don't feel like I'm connected with him. And it was because I was multitasking when I was home. I wasn't really completely energetically 100% with him. And it dawned on me that I could spend 10 minutes managing my energy proportionate to what mattered to me, meaning being all in with him. And that would be so much more meaningful for both of us than being there halfway for 4 hours.
Yeah. And it's hard for all of us with our phones and our computers and everything else going off constantly.
Yeah.
And we hear that from a lot of people we talk to. Every successful person has found their way of dealing with the noise that is, our world today. And I like that you bring that up. Being mindful and being present, so important.
So important. Yeah. And remembering what matters most. I actually have to remind myself, honestly, a gratitude journal really helps me with that. I write down three things I'm grateful for as many nights as I can remember to do it. And then you look back, I'll look back on all those things. And that reminds me of what really matters. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me to pay attention to that versus all the other things that tend to draw me away.
I got to ask this question. You're talking about being present. You got all this noise. You got so many responsibilities. Do you ever daydream about that year in Bend that you didn't get to have, where you could have just, you've been totally present with no responsibilities? Do you ever regret not taking that year?
I absolutely do not, but I can tell you with complete confidence, Chris does.
Yeah. See, I would be Chris over there. We never got our year.
Totally.
That's Chris. That's so Chris. Are you guys familiar with the Enneagram?
Well, yes.
What is this one?
Nathan took it recently too. The personality test.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's this great, I highly recommend it for just self-discovery and understanding of yourself. And
what
also
type are you, Sadie?
Yes.
Are
do you know him?
I took the test recently and I was in between a one or two. I would say maybe you're a two.
I'm a three.
Helping, with you're a three.
I'm a three, which is the achiever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. That makes sense.
What's Chris?
Chris is a nine. He's the peacemaker.
There we go.
So he just puts the peace, love, and happiness in Bend.
Yeah. I don't blame him. It sounds like a nice lifestyle.
Yeah.
What's a one or two?
One. I can't remember what my one is. That's, I think it was motivator. Uh-huh. Was that right, Sadie?
One is the idealist.
Idealist. I like things all in order, organized. Yeah. And then two is you like helping others.
Yeah, that describes you pretty well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm with Chris up in Bend on a boat catching fish, drinking beer. But you guys are young and you have this successful business and whether you decide to sell it or not, you know, you're going to have those moments ahead of you where you can look back on all that you created and have such huge appreciation for what you were able to do. And I hope that you have that one day, that year in Bend that you guys missed out on.
In all honesty too, I'm getting older. I'll be 47 this August and I am coming into a different phase of life where I am really honoring the art of slowing down and turning my attention to other things than like another location, another innovation, another, just layering on. I am really, really working on peeling back and just being okay, being still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think that's important too.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm not 47, but I'm 35 and I'm like, I'm learning to just slow down and it feels good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, wow, I can't thank you so much. Your wisdom is just mm-hmm. incredible. And your mindfulness and talking about the core values of not just who you are as a person, but how you carry that into your business. You know, we really appreciate your time.
It's really special.
I know that our listeners are going to want to follow you and they're going to want to check out a bar three. So Sadie is on, I have your handle here at Sadie Lincoln. What's your preferred social platform?
Instagram.
I love Instagram. Mm-hmm. And bar three also on Instagram, BARRE3. I'm going to check that out. It's just down the street here.
Yeah, we're going to go do a class. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Say hi to Jessica for me. She's got a great team.
We absolutely will. How often would you recommend that somebody do bar three? Is it something you can do daily? Is it something that you recommend three or four times a week?
Yeah, you can do it. Our whole thing is just to honor the moment, honor what your body needs. And so in classes, you can really dial up or down or all around and make it exactly what you need in the moment. So in that respect, you can do it every day. It's really what works for you.
And I don't have anyone yelling at me.
No, we don't yell.
I don't like when people yell at me in these classes.
We definitely motivate. Okay. We definitely humble. It's, you know, you will take your body to failure in a good way and build it back up. But in a very kind of, mindful way. We have childcare in most of our studios too.
Wow. And Jessica has them. Rare and awesome.
It just shows, Sadie, what you're doing. It's community-based. It's empowering. It's bringing people together in such a positive way. And I'm so excited to try it out.
Oh, I can't wait to hear how it goes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sadie, thank you so much for your time. We'll be in touch and good luck with everything.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Sadie.
A big thank you to everyone for joining us on that episode. If you want to find out more or listen to other episodes, go to rungum.com/podcast. Also, please make sure to subscribe on iTunes or your preferred player. I'm Nick Simmons, and you've been listening to the Run the Day podcast. Until next time.